With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
Welcome to Robin Hoop, an NBA Draft show here on Dash Radio's Nothing Net channel, where we bring rich takes to the poorly informed. All right, so this week we are diving into one of the prospects that I think people are very, very high on in this draft class, and that is Isaac Okoro. What's great about Isaac Okoro is so many things. It's not just one thing. It is very similar to my favorite prospect, Denny Avdia, and that is Isaac Okoro is able to do... It's a little different when you look when you compare those two players. The only comparison I want to make is that they're guys that bring a lot of skill sets to the NBA level. Now, Isaac Okoro, to me, has one skill set that is better than any skill sets that Denny Avdia has. And that's going to be Isaac Okoro is a fantastic defender. Now, that's not to take away from Denny Avdia, who has really improved on that end of the floor. But I just think in terms of being very versatile players that have vast skill sets, that's where the comparison stops for me. Now, if we look at Isaac Okoro, what's really impressive is, first of all, his on-ball defense and his team defense, which is one thing you don't see with some of the other players in this class. Devin Vassell, a player we talked about recently, very, very good off-the-ball defender, very high IQ team defender, but he's not as good on the ball. Isaac Okoro is actually really good in both aspects of the defensive game. What's really cool, actually, when you look at his on-the-ball defense, is his footwork. Very, very high-level footwork for a defender. Is a good athlete as well, able to move both vertically and laterally very well. So he's able to get blocks. He's able to get steals. There's so many aspects of his game that are impressive. And when we go back to Denny Avdia, one of the big things that I've been asking during this draft cycle is, if you take this player that has this one glaring weakness, so in Denny's case it was shooting, and you say, all right, if we get rid of that one thing, does that make him the best prospect in the class? Now, I personally already was high on Denny, so it doesn't move him at all that he became a better shooter. Now, if I look at Isaac Okoro, though, Isaac Okoro would be probably the one player that I would have to say to myself, all right, maybe I changed my mind a little bit. Maybe he would be the guy that I look to grab at number one if he could shoot. That's his big red flag. And the issue you run into with his shooting is not just the fact that the form is interesting, decent footwork when you watch him take off, but you know his upstairs game as far as the mechanics are just not great. And the big thing for me, what I challenge people to do, if you haven't watched much of Isaac Okoro, I challenge you to watch film from his games, specifically when he shoots free throws. The interesting thing, so he's about a 66-67% free throw shooter, which is not great. It's not terrible, but it's not great. Let's not pretend that you're jumping to the NBA and teams are going to be super gung-ho about the fact that you're only shooting sub-70%. Now, if you watch him, though, there's sometimes where 3, 4, 5 shots in a row from the free throw line, and they all are pretty consistent, and they look pretty good. But then you have some other times where everything looks different. he doesn't seem like he has the same confidence. And in some cases, it looks like he's aiming the basketball, which for anyone that understands how shooting works, you don't aim the basketball. It's a free-flowing. It's a natural thing. There's a reason why I have talked on previous episodes about how I think shooting is in some ways an art form. There's things that you really look for from a jump shot that to me are so honestly beautiful is the right way to look at it. For me, I watch it and I'm just like, wow, that's a jump shot that just makes me go, whoo, I like it. And a good example of that, we touched on Devin Vassell. His teammate Patrick Williams has one of those jump shots. I absolutely love his form. Now, this is the thing I want to harp on, and I touch on this on many episodes. When you look at a player, it's easier to me to become a good jump shooter than it is to just become a good defender. Because there's so many other things involved, whether it's instincts, whether it's athletic ability. I mean, there's some things that you just cannot work on. You can't improve. For example, I can't just go to the gym and decide I'm going to become a better leaper. Or I'm just going to, like, that takes a lot more. Some of it is just the way you are. There's not much you can do about that. And over time, some guys can develop that. But it's so much simpler to become a good shooter. Not to say that becoming a good shooter is simple, but to me, that's an aspect of the game, especially given he's 19 years old. We're not talking about some old man. We're talking about a young prospect. And so to me, it's going to be much easier for a player like Okoro to take the next step as a shooter than when I look at other prospects. Good example would be Anthony Edwards. There's question marks about him on the defensive end. Now, how much simpler is it going to be for a player to decide, number one, I'm going to put the effort in? Because it's interesting when you hear Anthony Edwards talk, he makes it seem like, well, when I'm really dialed in, I can be a really good defender. Well, why aren't you dialed in all the time? And that's where Isaac Okoro comes in. Isaac Okoro is dialed in all the time. In fact, when he did one of his recent interviews with Mike Schmitz, where they break down film and they look at that the film and how that works as a player, he talked about how night in, night out, he wants to guard the other team's best player. Now, that's not something that you just develop. You don't just become that. That's a drive. That's a passion. There's something to be said about a player that – here's a good example. A player I'm not a big fan of just as a person is Jimmy Butler. There's so many things. Now, granted, I'm a Timberwolves fan, so there's going to be some bias there, but I'm just not a big Jimmy Butler fan. I don't appreciate the way he operates as a person. But I'll say this. His drive, his work ethic is really, really good. And now, unfortunately, the reason why we know this is because he can't stop talking about just how amazing he is and how much better his work ethic is than everyone else's. You know what, Jimmy? No one cares. But my point is, Isaac Okoro has that same work ethic. Isaac Okoro has that same drive. The difference being, of course, Isaac Okoro doesn't need to tell everyone about it. Doesn't need to talk about it constantly. And that's actually interesting, and this is where I tie in the jump shot, is that a lot of guys during the offseason will post workout videos, will post improvement areas. And one thing we have not seen from Isaac Okoro. And one thing I would like to see what he's working on, because to me, he's got to be working on that jump shot. And I would love to see what it looks like now versus what it looked like. You know, compare the two. Compare the work he's put in and what the jump shot looks like today as opposed to what it looked like at the end of last season, let's say. That, to me, is a very interesting storyline. Now, we don't know what a pre-draft process is going to look like, but we've talked about this with other prospects, whether it's Jay Scrubb, whether it's Desmond Bane. There's a number of guys out there that really could benefit from a pre-draft process. Now, there's always going to be some guys that I don't think could, and I don't think will. Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, there's a list of players that, number one, they wouldn't really take part in most of the workouts. They wouldn't do much in terms of going to the combine. That's what you see from the top-level players. And to be fair, Isaac Okoro is probably one of those players. But the difference being, I think Isaac Okoro would be willing to have workouts. I think he would be willing to at least get in front of teams and show off the jump shot. Regardless, it's a very interesting storyline. We talk about it every week. The pre-draft process, we'll see what it ends up being. Now, we talk about his offense and his defense and the deficiencies on the offensive end, where he's good on the defensive end. The one thing I want to touch on is just how versatile he is as an offensive player. Now, he's going to likely play the three is probably going to be his main position. Again, he's not a great shooter, so you're not going to put him at the two necessarily. Now, of course, he's going to be able to guard all those positions. He's going to be able to guard two, three, four. I think he can probably guard some ones. I don't really see him guarding fives. That's not a thing. Although if you're playing a team like Houston that decides to go small ball, then yeah, Isaac Okoro could do that. What's impressive about Isaac Okoro, too, is that he has the build. I mean, he's going to come in very strong, and so you're not worried about him strength-wise. That's kind of the one thing you love to say. Lots of people will say about these young prospects is, oh, he's got to get stronger. He's got to get stronger. Isaac Okoro doesn't have to get stronger. He's already going to be – now, granted, he's going to get stronger. That when you get in that strength and conditioning program of the NBA, things are going to change, but he is – in tip-top shape right now, and he's going to be able to fight, and he's going to be able to contribute immediately. That's why when you look at certain players in this draft, there's some guys that I say to myself, I don't see them being able to really contribute right away. I think it's going to be a long-term process, but with him, he can contribute, no questions asked, day one. So in addition, the one thing I want to look at is we talk about how as a shooter, he leaves a lot to be desired, but offensively, aside from shooting, he's able to get to the hoop. He's able to be a finisher, which is nice to see. A very solid passer for a wing. You definitely would love that. Actually, decent ball handler with left and right hands. So there's lots to like about him on the offensive end if you just kind of take the time to overlook that portion of his game. Let's actually dive into some specific numbers. Let's take a look at some of the things that people want to see. You know, there's a lot of people out there that will be box score watchers. And what we're going to do here is, as we always do, is dive deeper into those numbers. Now, if we do actually start off, let's take a look at the box numbers because there's some things that you want to talk about that stand out a little bit. So when we look at Isaac Okoro, the interesting thing here is people like to harp on his three-point shooting. And that's understandable. It is not good. It's 29%, 28.6% to be precise. Now, it's not a super huge sample size. You know, 20 makes out of 70 attempts. Here's the caveat, and here's the interesting thing. And this gets talked about, we'll talk about this actually in a few of our interviews later, because this week we do have three fantastic guests to really dive in on Isaac Okoro and his game and his NBA prospects. But one thing we touch on is in Mike Schmidt's interview with Isaac Okoro, the one thing that they touch on is if you look at some similar players, just in terms of guys that were really good defensive prospects, whether it's Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown, there's some other players they touch on. Jimmy Butler kind of seemed to be a focus, I will say. But if you look at those players, they were really bad three-point shooters. I mean, they were, and they were worse, in some cases much worse, than Isaac Okoro at 29%. Again, I'm not saying 29% is good, not by any stretch of the imagination, but to me, we're looking at a guy that already has a higher floor than those players had from the three-point line. So I personally do believe that he is going to make the adjustments and he's going to become a good defender. Now, because of that, I really have started to move him up my board. Now, granted, I guess I shouldn't say move him up my board because he was already very high up there, but what we had before, so my board, last I was on talking about the board itself, you know, I had Denny Avdia number one, and he was actually kind of a 1A, 1B with LaMelo Ball. Right up there, probably number two right now for me, would be Isaac Okoro. He's right there. I am such a huge fan of his game, and I believe in that jump shot because I think you have to if you're going to make that determination. If you're going to put him high up on your draft board, you have to believe in that jump shot because here's the thing. If you take away the jump shot, so if you have him as a prospect the way he is right now, and let's say he never becomes a good jump shooter, to me, that poses significant issues. Number one, he's not able to stretch the floor. He's not going to be a guy that they can have on the perimeter that is going to worry teams. And so when he gets the ball on the perimeter, guys aren't going to have to close out. It's going to take away space from other players. There's lots of issues with the modern NBA and guys that cannot consistently shoot and hit shots from deep. Now, the one thing that sets Isaac Okoro aside is he's able to get to the free throw line. He's strong. 67% is not great, but I do think there's some areas there where you say to yourself, all right, this is a not bad. This is decent. We can work with this, and that's the big thing about Isaac Okoro. He has a high floor, and that's why he's going to be able to contribute from day one. One interesting thing that just kind of popped into my head now that I had really – it's something that I noticed as I watched more of his games, is that he was very much a forgotten asset on the defense, on the offensive end. They did not let him be much of a creator like he could be. They didn't put the ball in his hands enough. To me, there were actually many opportunities for him to be a better player, and they just kind of, I thought he was held back by the system. in many instances, very much held back in, by the system. Now, I'm not necessarily blaming Bruce Pearl. That's not what I'm saying. Bruce Pearl was a huge Isaac Okoro guy. And actually, what was really impressive is he touched on how Isaac Okoro, he called him a senior because he played like a senior, despite the fact that he is not that. So he's a very, very high-level player. I just didn't think he was involved enough in the offense, on the offensive end. There's just one of those things where I think that things could have been done better. And so that was a little frustrating for me. Now, let's just kind of look at his overall statistics. So 13.1 points per game, 4.8 rebounds per game. Here's what I think. He's a better rebounder than we saw in college. He wasn't super aggressive as a rebounder. To me, it almost seemed like it was kind of not an afterthought, but it just wasn't his focus. So I think he's a better rebounder than we really saw. Now, in addition, we look at some of the other stats. A steal a game, a block a game, so he's good there. True shooting percentage, just under 58%, which, hey, I mean, who's gonna complain about that? Effective field goal percentage, 55%. And obviously we talked about the issues with his three-point shooting and his free throw shooting, of course. Now, moving on to other portions of his game, and again, looking at now the actual numbers. So I want to dive into the percentages as we normally do week by week. We like to look at the offensive percentages and kind of take a look at what makes a player tick. Now, if you look at him in transition, very, very good player. Just under 1.2 points per possession in transition, which is good to see. 72 possessions, not a small sample size. When you look at him overall on offense, excellent. Excellent rating, 86th percentile, over a point per possession. And we're not, you know, he's been on offense a lot. 356 possessions, 359 points. Lots to like there. You know, he's only around 13 points per game. That doesn't necessarily jump off the page, but it does go back to my earlier point. He was kind of an afterthought on the offensive end. I do think they could have done a better job of utilizing him. There are many instances where he would be open, and he would kind of do that like, guys, I'm over here kind of thing. Not necessarily demanding the ball, but trying to make his teammates more aware. And I wish they would have been more aware. I wish they would have used him. Because when he gets to the NBA, I think if he's used properly, he's going to be even better than we realize on the offensive end. Drawing fouls, a passer, getting to the hoop. There's lots of things that he was underutilized on that I think are really going to change. Kind of an interesting thing that I saw was if we look at him as a spot-up player, he is not great. And the reason we touched on this now is because like we mentioned earlier, when you're not a great three-point shooter, that's going to show, especially in your spot-up numbers. This is where what I really find interesting about this is if you dive more specifically, it's not generalized spot-ups, but interestingly, a short shot clock, less than 4 seconds, 93rd percentile, not a huge sample size. But still, I found it interesting that he was that effective when you kind of got to make a split-second decisions. And to me, maybe part of the issue you run into with his jump shot is some of it mental. And when you watch the free throws, I do think that that would probably play a role. Because when you don't have the time to think about it, obviously he's able to be pretty good. In addition, when you look at spot-ups to the basket, 97th percentile, 33 possessions, almost 1.5 points per possession. So there's so much to like about that. We talked about how he's very good at driving to the basket. You know, out of the spot up, when he drives right, it's a small sample size, or at least a little bit, 12 possessions, but almost 1.7 points per possession. He's in the 99th percentile for that. He is excellent. He's also, if he drives left, so taking it to the basket, 92nd percentile. So if you could utilize this a little better as an NBA team, I think you're going to go get something that's a little bit untapped because he just wasn't given the opportunity to do that much in college. So that's one aspect that's interesting. The other thing that you don't see a lot of, he was a very, very good cutter, but again, small sample size that was not used much as a cutter. Excellent rating in the 92nd percentile. Flash cuts, excellent, 88th percentile. These are aspects of his game where are really, really good. Now, there's obviously not just things that you like. We've talked about how there are some struggles shooting-wise, and so that's not surprising that there are some things that aren't going to jump off the page as well. So a good example would be if you look at let's dive into the no-dribble jumper off of the spot-up, right? So he gets it, and he looks to hit the shot, and we're talking 38 possessions, 22nd percentile. under 0.8 points per possession, below average to say the least. I would argue that that rating system's a little goofy by Synergy because to me that's poor. I think anything that low is pretty poor. So that's one area where we talk about he's got to improve as a shooter. So that's not surprising to me, and it really shouldn't be surprising if you followed his game. Interestingly enough, an aspect of his game that actually is very impressive too is as a ball handler in transition. 16 possessions, again, not a huge sample size, but 93rd percentile in terms of rank, excellent. 1.25 points per possession. Who doesn't love that? That's fantastic. You know, we talk about the best defenders in this class, and another guy that jumps off the page that likes to try to push it is Paul Reed, one of the other guys in this draft class who I absolutely love, not just as a prospect, but really specifically as a defender. And now Isaac Okoro is kind of in that mold, a guy that's going to be flexible in terms of what position he's going to be able to play. So he has that switchability, and he's able to push the ball in transition. So those are things to like and to watch for at the next level. The more you watch this guy, I feel like the more you fall in love with him because there's so many things in his tape that maybe when you watched it the first time you didn't notice. It's kind of like when you watch a really interesting or in-depth movie. There's certain directors out there, right, where you watch the movie and you say to yourself, man, I got to watch that again. I feel like I missed something. Isaac Okoro is the same way. His game is so good in so many aspects. I feel like you could watch the same game five times, and every single time you would notice something different that you really appreciated about his game. That's kind of where we sit with him. That goes into a lot of the things that you really want out of his game. Again, lots to like about Isaac Okoro as a prospect. Lots of things to believe in. The key is going to be, do you trust his shot? If you do, that's one thing. If you don't, that's one thing. And that's going to really set things up for how you view him as a prospect. But bottom line, I think there's a lot of disagreement there. I know a number of people that have said they don't think he's going to be able to figure the shot off. And that's fine. You know, if he doesn't figure it out, he doesn't figure it out. That's very possible. But I, for one, think he does. But again, if he doesn't, I think that's okay because he already has so many other valuable skills. He's going to be a guy that makes an impact on any team. I think any of the teams in the NBA would be fortunate to have Isaac Okoro on their team, and he's going to be able to help out day one. So that's going to do it for my breakdown. We're going to jump now into the interviews. Lots of great content. You're listening to Dash Radio's Nothing Minute channel, and this is the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show. Welcome back to the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show on the Nothing But Net channel of Dash Radio, where now we have the pleasure of being joined by Rafael Barlow, basketball scout and founder of NBA Draft Junkies. Rafael, thanks for taking the time to join the show this week.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk basketball.
So let's start by telling listeners about your background, because you've really been immersed in professional basketball for a number of years. What got you into scouting? And then tell us, how did NBA Draft Junkies come about, and what is it all about?
Oh, that's a good question. You can say that my career really, really started in maybe like 2010. I had a job that I was working at, and I didn't like it. I knew it wasn't something that I wanted to do long term, and I had just started it. I was there probably like 6 weeks, and every day, man, I hated going to work. I look at the clock, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm breaking my work day down to four quarters. Like, all right, if I can make it through the first quarter, lunch break was halftime, and I just really didn't like it. And then, for whatever reasons, I got laid off after 6 weeks. They said they had some budget issues; they miscalculated their budget, and so. I was the first layoff because I was the last one there. And from that point forward, I just felt like I'm single. I don't have a wife. I don't have any kids. The workforce is unstable as is. You just never know what can happen. So I figured if I'm going to be unstable and have uncertainty, I might as well go all in on doing something that I love with basketball. So from there, I ended up moving to LA on a whim. I went to LA to visit. And then while I went to visit, I ended up staying And one of the things I learned about LA is that everybody moves there to pursue a dream. And so, and people take a step backwards to pursue that dream. So whether you're going to be an actor, actress, model, whatever, people kind of live below their means to make it. And so for me, I did that, and I got lucky enough to get an internship with the Clippers. And and unfortunately, on at the time I was 30 years old, and so I had to take a unpaid internship and had to like get college credit for it. So I ended up signing up for like some PE class at a community college or whatever. And I thought, like, this is my big opportunity. It was, I want to say it was Blake's first year. Yeah, I think he sat out his rookie year, but it was Blake's first year. There was a little excitement about it. I was really excited about the job. And then on my way to, I had to turn in a paper from my professor just to, you know, for the college credit. So on my way to get the papers, like my third day of the internship, my car broke down and I ended up getting fired from the internship because I was like I didn't show up for work on my third day. LA traffic, I ended up missing it, and just a long story. And so that was really, really disappointing, but I think it was a test for me. And then after that, I decided, you know, I need to move back to Dallas, which was my adopted hometown. I moved back to Dallas, and then I took an unpaid internship with the Texas Legends, and then that's where it kind of started from there.
Very cool. And I think that's what really builds some people, is you have a unique story, and you obviously, you know, have some hardships, have the issue, your car breaks down. It's a very unique story, but I think that's the kind of thing that kind of builds you up and makes you the person that you become. So things like that can really be, I think, beneficial long term. And so that's really cool. And obviously, you've been able to grow from there. And NBA Draft Junkies, for anyone that has not checked it out, I definitely suggest you do so. One of the, for my money, one of the better draft websites out there, NBADraftJunkies.com, is a great place to get lots of information, whether it's 2020 prospects. You have some you know, previous mock drafts as well. You go into international, and you've got great work with as far as video. You've done videography stuff, and you've been featured, I know, on NBA.com, Washington Post, CBS.com, NBA TV, to name a few. So definitely people should go there and check that out. Now let's jump in to the man of the hour, and that is Isaac Okoro. Now, what do you think when you hear the name Isaac Okoro, what really stands out to you about him as a prospect?
Defense. that's going to be his calling card. Just love the effort that he plays with. He's physical. He just makes winning plays, hustle plays. He'll dive on the ground. He'll take the challenge of guarding the best offensive player. He's a guy that I really like his upside and his potential. But he does have this one bankable skill set, which is his defense.
Yeah, the one thing that's interesting with Okoro that to me seems to set him apart is when people talk about player weaknesses, whether you're looking at guys like James Wise and LaMelo Ball, Edwards, kind of those the guys that a lot of people think are in that first tier. What's interesting to me is that people have no problem saying, oh, LaMelo Ball, he'll figure it out on defense, or he's going to figure out the shot. There's just some things he can do. Oh, Edwards, it's an effort thing. He'll just try harder, and he's going to be good at defense. But then you jump to Okoro, and I see some people going, well, I'm not going to take him early because he can't shoot right now, and I don't know if he's going to be able to. And it's like, he's 19. Like, you can tell me the guy can't figure out how to shoot? I to me, shooting is the one area where I do think when you get to that NBA team and you're working with those skill coaches, you can become a better shooter. But not just anyone can become great at defense. And he comes in day one, and he's going to be really, really good. Do you think that's fully going to translate, the defense portion of his game?
Yeah, because defense is all effort. The biggest key for me with him is being able to shoot, which is, you know, it sounds pretty obvious, because I feel like most of these guys have one thing that they do well, or one skill that people feel like they can build around. And it's rare to find someone that's defense first. And I feel like if you can get the defense first, then I think the offense can be taught. But we just live in a world where offense and defense aren't valued the same. I think if he were, if his offense, I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. If you switched his offense with his defense and he played offense, if his offense was as strong as his defense and you reversed him, he would be the number one pick. Because they would say, well, you know, think Anthony Edwards. He doesn't really play defense like that. That's one of the things you hear about. Oh, you know, if he improves his effort or he'll improve defensively, then he'll be this. And so I think Okoro is like the opposite of Edwards in a sense.
Yeah. And the big thing for me too, I personally always have a problem with guys that come in and you say, I have an issue with this part of his game, not because he can't do it, but because he chose not to do it. It's an effort thing. And so with Okoro, it's not an effort thing because he's given 110% offense, defense, because there are aspects of his offensive game that are really good. He's a good passer. He's a good finisher when he can get to the hoop, and he's strong. There's a lot of things to like. It's just that jump shot's very inconsistent because you might watch one game and all of a sudden he's making 4 or 5 free throws in a row and you're thinking, all right, maybe he's figuring something out. And then all of a sudden he misses 2 or 3. He takes a 3-point shot and you're kind of like, oh, that didn't look great. And so it's one of those things where it kind of snowballs into things when you're watching his game. And I'll say this, I've had this conversation about a number of guys in this draft, because this draft, more so than some others, I think there's a number of guys that have one like glaring weakness. And if you can take that away and make that a strength, where would they go? And to me, Okoro, if Okoro was already an okay shooter, not even a great shooter, but like if he was shooting like 33-35%, I think he goes number one. I think most teams would say that's good enough, and everything else is so elite that to me, I think he would be the top prospect if he was just passable on the offensive end, shooting-wise, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that's why I said if you switched his offense and defense and, you know, the way it's valued, he's the opposite of Anthony Edwards, in my opinion. And Edwards is, in a lot of cases, projected to be the number one pick.
Yeah, and that's funny. So I'm a big Wolves fan. I don't know why, but I am. And so you hear Edwards' name getting jumped out all the time. And I say to myself, oof, I've already had Andrew Wiggins. I don't know if I want to go after Anthony Edwards, another guy that's, you know, an athletic specimen. He's very talented in many aspects, but there's effort questions. There's energy questions. And so that's why I look at a guy like Okoro. He's going to have none of those question marks. And he's able to be switched. And switchability is so big in the NBA. And you look at Isaac Okoro, where do you think he ultimately can play? Because to me, I think he has the ability, if he can, a good example would be if he could figure out like a corner 3-point shot, his game is very similar to, let's say, PJ Tucker, where he could play some small ball 4. And in the modern NBA, that's huge if you can do that. Do you think ultimately he's going to be able to play, let's say, like, you know, kind of 2 through 4, or at least guard those positions?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, if you look at the Eastern Conference Finals, the Bam was the tallest at 6'8". But the Celtics play Tice, Bam is 6'9", I'm sorry. But Tice is 6'8". Jay Crowder was starting at the 4 for Miami. He's 6'6". And it's so much value on guys that are strong enough to defend bigs, but can move their feet and also defend guards. And so I think that watching the first round of the playoffs, I think Lugans Dort has made a case for Okoro to be rising on different draft boards. I mean, we saw how much difficult life was for James Harden when he had a guy that was strong enough to absorb the bumps and the contacts that he gives, but also could move his feet and just match him step for step. And I think Isaac Okoro can definitely do what Lugans Dort did. And I ask myself, if there was a redraft today, where would Dort go based off of what we've seen? And I think he's a lottery pick just based off of his defense. And, you know, he kind of came on late in the season, you know, started off as a two-way player, but I think he's provided a lot of value and made a big name for himself. And I think Okoro can do the exact same thing.
That's a really interesting comparison. I like that a lot. I do think if you watched those games and you saw how important it was to have a guy that's able to do that when you're playing a high-level player like James Harden, to me, that helps really raise Okoro's level in terms of his draft stock. It's especially important, too, because there's not much these players can do at this point because we don't know if there's going to be a pre-draft process. Scouts are looking at the same footage over and over again. There's not really anything new. And so when you see the NBA game change in some aspects, or when you see a guy like Dort able to play that kind of defense, you might say to yourself, all right, we got to get that guy. And so if you're Isaac Okoro, you're just thinking, thank you. Because now this is another example at the pro level where someone says this is his skill set and we want to bring this in. Let me ask you this. So on your most recent mock draft, you had Okoro going to the Hawks at 6. Would you say that's kind of where you have him ranked, or was that more about the fit and the need for the Hawks?
I did it more so over fit and in need. I mean, you can make a case and say any team in the lottery needs to just go by the best player available. But I think with Atlanta, you set at point guard with Trey. At center, you just traded for Capella. I think John Collins is the 4 there. Whether or not they want to pay him long term or keep him, that's something I don't really know. But I think on opening day, he's your starting 4. And then at the 3, you figure Cam Reddish or DeAndre Hunter, guys that they drafted last year, are there. I don't think either one of them is good enough at this point where you say, well, we're set with them and we're going to pass up Okoro, because the Hawks were the worst defensive team in the league. And, well, I should say this. If they weren't the worst, they were the second worst. It was probably going back and forth between them and the Wizards, which is another team I think Okoro would be a good fit for. And they need help. Like, Trae Young is statistically like the worst defender in the NBA. And you know he's going to play heavy minutes. And so I think you need a physical wing that can cover him. You need because teams are going to hunt him out, especially if Atlanta's going to try to be a playoff team in the near future. And if you watch the playoffs, teams are looking for the weak link on defense to just hunt and attack with ball screens. And I think with a guy like Okoro, he is so physical and he doesn't want to be screened that he'll make it hard for teams to try to hunt out Trae Young and try to take advantage of, you know, him not being a good defender. And so, I mean, I go back to Dort. There were so many times where Houston was trying to run screens to get him off of Harden to get a favorable matchup. And just the way that the effort that he played with made it so hard for them to screen him that there were times where their offense was thrown off and they end up in late shot clock situations because they couldn't get the favorable matchup that they were looking for because of Dort's effort. And so I see Okoro as that same type of guy.
Yeah, I definitely think he fits the mold of that type of player. What's really impressive too about Okoro is his footwork. There's a lot of guys that they give the effort, but they don't necessarily understand the movement aspects of defense, or they're not quick enough. What's great about him is athletically, he's able to move laterally really well. Vertically, he can move well too. They actually interviewed him. I watched Mike Schmidt's interview recently, and they asked him, what is your vertical? And he said, I really don't know. He said, but it's pretty high. And so things like that, I really think that he's going to be able to do some things that not a lot of guys in the NBA can do just because he's able to move so fluidly. You know, when you're jumping in against guys, whether it's James Harden, whether it's other high-level players in the NBA, to me, Okoro can help out day one. And he'll be probably, I think he could step in, especially given that he's already pretty strong and he's at 6'6". That's a guy that's going to be, for the most part, positionless on the defensive end. And so to me, there's no NBA team out there that couldn't use him at this stage in the game because he's going to be able to jump in day one and really contribute. I don't think there's a lot of guys in this draft class that not necessarily are projects, but I don't think they can necessarily help out day one as much as Okoro. I think he's probably one of the most NBA ready prospects in this draft class.
Well, I'll add on to that. I think that I agree and disagree. I think that he can help out from day one on a team that's looking to compete. But I do think there are guys who aren't ready to help out on day one, but their team is going to put them in position and they're going to throw them out on the court 20 to 25 minutes a game, even though they're not ready. Because in the NBA, let's be honest, if you throw out a guy that's not ready and he's terrible, he helps your team lose and he puts you in position to get a better draft pick in 2021, which is what I think teams want. So
I think
Okoro could come in from day one and make an impact on the team, make a real impact, not just the impact where he, you know, did something, put up some numbers because he just put up a bunch of empty stats on a team that was, you know, looking ahead in the draft. And that's why I think Atlanta would be a good fit for him, because if I'm not mistaken, I read they kind of like have a 3-year plan or so, and it was to make the playoffs. And it may be a little tough for them next year, but I expect them to be a lot more competitive than they were this past season. And Okoro can help them out in that aspect because, again, they were either 29th or 30th in points per game. And so defense is what they need. I mean, they have the offense. Is they need a guy that's a stopper. And I think Reddish was a good defensive player, and I think DeAndre Hunter has the potential to be one also. But Okoro's on another level because of his strength, and I think that he could defend 1 through 4 without any problems.
Yeah, the Hawks could. You talked about Hunter, you talked about Reddish, and then let's say you add Okoro in there, they could really take a pretty good jump, especially it helps when you're in the East. I mean, I think that's very, very clear when you watch the NBA. When you're in the West, you have a lot more hurdles than you do in the East, and the Hawks, depending on how they attack this draft, could really end up making a pretty big jump. So I completely agree there. Before we end it here, let me ask you this. So if you project out Isaac Okoro's career, let's say, you know, his high end, you know, you look at some of the players out there that had similar career paths. So maybe weren't great shooters in college, such as, you know, the Jaylen Browns, Jimmy Butlers, Kawhi, some of those guys that came in with similar skill sets in terms of being really high level defenders. And then, having to work on some other aspects of their game. Do you think he ultimately reaches like a high ceiling potential, or is he more going to be one of those kind of middling outcomes? So where when it's all said and done, he's a very solid player, but he doesn't ever reach that next peak.
And that's such a difficult question because, you know, I think if NBA GMs or scouts and knew the answer to it, they would never get any draft picks wrong. It's always
very
hard
true, very
to,
true.
Yeah, it's always tough to project how hard a 19 or 20 year old will work when they have millions of dollars in their bank account.
Oh,
I remember
true.
Once a player told me, he says, "Do you know how hard it is to be in this gym in this heat when I have the money in my account to be anywhere in the world within the next 24 hours? And I never really thought of it like that. You just kind of think of it as, you know, these are pros, this is what they do. But you really have to push yourself when you don't want to. And if you want to get better, the areas that may not come natural to you, like for Okoro, he's not a natural shooter. So he's going to have to spend a lot of time in the gym working on the shot. So it's easy to do it right now because he hasn't really got his first NBA check. But let's say he's the 6th pick. I'm guessing that's anywhere between $10 to $15 million guaranteed that he knows is going to be in his account. And, you know, he's still young. I mean the youth is wasted on the young. And I think that's the difference between guys maximizing their potential and guys that don't, is the ones that, despite, you know, having money and access to do whatever they want, they still remain driven. And so far, I mean, what I've heard about Okoro, I've never met him, but everything that you just kind of hear like around him suggests that he's going to put in the work. And I think guys that play defense the way he does and the effort that he plays with, it doesn't seem like it's one of those things where he's so talented that everything came easy to him that he doesn't have to work, if that makes sense to you. Like,
oh, it does.
Like you said with Andrew Wiggins, I think Wiggins was so naturally talented. Like, he was probably the best player on his team from when he first picked up a basketball. Just so naturally gifted. And I'm not saying that he doesn't work. I'm just saying that it comes so easy to him that you never really hear about, like, him having to, like, really work hard or a motor. Okoro seems like an underdog type, like, I mean, think about last year. I didn't, and I don't think many people did have him projected as a guy that was going to be a top 10 pick. He wasn't on those lists. You know, the guys that may seem like they have more natural talent, like a Jaden McDaniels or, you know, maybe like a Nico Mannion, those guys were all ranked ahead of him. But Okoro is probably going to end up being a better prospect, and he's going to be drafted higher than those guys because he seems like he came into the season with a chip on his shoulder. And guys like that are guys that I think that project to really like work on the areas where they need a lot of help at. So I'm buying into him being a pretty good shooter long term.
Yep. I think he's one of those players that, given the intangibles, whether it's hard work, whether it's the passion for not only just defense, but the game in general, that's the kind of thing that you can see that really sets a player apart from someone else. Like we mentioned, Andrew Wiggins, a guy that just kind of had it all naturally and didn't have to work as hard maybe at certain aspects. And so I do think that can definitely set guys apart. So let's end with this. Where can people find you on social media? And do you have any new content coming out soon?
Yeah, I mean, every day I'm trying to put up content. I did something last week where, you know, I would post different videos and I posted my own like mock draft on my YouTube channel, and I would get a lot of comments. You know, some of them saying, this is great, I agree. Some are like, oh man, you're stupid, you're an idiot, why would you say, you know? And so I opened up the floor and I said, well, hey, if you have a big board or a mock draft, let's come on the show and let's talk about it, and we'll just go by pick by pick. And so I've had maybe 10 people email me, and they've taken the time to come up with their own big boards or mock drafts. And so for the last week, I've been able to get those interviews and record them, and then, you know, put it on my podcast and then put it on my YouTube channel. So I'll be doing a lot of that lately. I just did a video on Jaden McDaniels on his offensive strengths and weaknesses. So if you go to my YouTube channel, NBA Draft Junkies, you'll just see that's where I'll be putting a lot of content. And then on the website, NBADraftJunkies.com is where I have a little bit more in depth on the players. I have their profiles. And then on Twitter, I guess I'll mostly use my personal account, but it's Barlow, Barlowe 500. And I'm on Twitter every day. So, and my Twitter account is not all 100% NBA drafts. It's just more so like, you know, I'm talking a lot of basketball, but it's just more so like me as a person on top of the basketball stuff. So, but that's where you can find me at.
Perfect. Well, I encourage people to check all of your stuff out and follow you on all social media accounts. Thanks again for taking time to join us, and hopefully we can bring you on again on the show down the road.
Man, no problem at all. Thanks for having me on. And anytime you want to talk basketball, NBA draft, have me on as a guest, I'm here. So I appreciate you.
Awesome. Love it. Welcome back to the Nothing Net channel here on Dash Radio. This is the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show, where now we are joined by the founder of the Off the Ball Network and host of Off the Ball Podcast, Chris LeBron. Chris, thanks for joining us this week.
Oh, this is a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me on. I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Yeah, we're definitely glad you were able to join us this week. And now, firstly, I want to encourage all of our listeners to make sure to go listen to Chris's show. Now, Chris, tell us, what is Off the Ball, both the network and the podcast, all about?
Yeah, so Off the Ball Podcast, I started it around a year or so ago, a little bit more than a year ago. And, you know, just started off as just me wanting to talk about sports and, you know, seeing if people would actually care about what I had to say. And, you know, I would talk about all sports, and then I kind of saw how I was talking about basketball and how that was kind of, you know, it seemed like that was, you know, what people really liked, what I talked about, and how, you know, the insight and all that, and especially draft stuff and all that. And so I kind of stuck with the NBA theme and talked a lot of basketball, you know, on the show. So that's kind of where, you know, I got with the show. And Off the Ball, I'm big with Off the Ball stuff, so that's how I got the name of the show too. I'm always big on doing stuff off the ball on the basketball court. So that's how I got started with that. And then as the show grew and as I started networking with more and more cool people and stuff, I've always had a, you know, always wanted to start up a network, and just was waiting to make sure I had the right people around me and just figure out how to do it. And so I took some time and learned from some other networks and, you know, finally just said, hey, let's do this. So I had I got a few guys that I worked with a lot on the podcast and stuff, and did some do a lot of live stuff too on Facebook and all that, and Twitter, YouTube. So I just say, hey, let's go for it. And, you know, they were with it, and that's how Off the Bolt Network got started. So it's been up and running for, I think, maybe close to a month or so already, the network. But it's going well. I got a great group of guys who helped me with the network. But, you know, the podcast is going strong. Network's going strong, so I can't complain.
Very cool. Very cool to see. And this is the perfect person for Off the Ball, because when you're talking about especially defense in this class, almost no one does it better than our guy, Isaac Okoro here.
Nope,
now, let me ask you this. As far as Okoro is concerned, looking at your current big board, where do you have him ranked in this class?
Well, my initial big board, I think I had him maybe 12 to 14, I believe. But I was actually going to update it because, you know, the more I watch him, his game, and I know the big thing is his shooting. That's obviously the number one thing for him, but he does everything else really good, you know, and if he gets to the right organization, I think he can develop, you know, the work on the shot and all that. But, you know, defensively, like you said, I mean, he's a bull too. Like he's so strong, and he's good on the ball, off the ball, good team defender. You know, he's a smart defender too. Like, If you just look at his stats, you'd be like, oh, well, he averaged under a block and a steal a game. But you just see that he's just fundamentally sound defense. He doesn't take a lot of chances. He's just a really smart defender. And his offensive game, you know, he loves to attack the basket, which is good. You know, loves to do that, his spin move, likes to use a Euro step. Can go with both hands attacking the basket. He's just so strong when it gets to the hole. So, you know, obviously, you know, he needs to work on the free throw shooting and the perimeter shooting, of course. But to me, you know, everything else, you know, really checks out. And in the last few days where I've really watched a lot of his game, he's really grown on me too. So I'm definitely going to move him up a little bit on my big board for sure.
Yeah, he's a prospect for me. He was very easy to fall in love with. I love watching him play. It's really interesting watching him play against some of the bigger names. You know, he had his game against Anthony Edwards where he talked about how and I don't know if you watched this, but the Mike Schmitz interview where he kind of does the back and forth with Okoro.
I love those interviews. I absolutely love those.
They do such a great job. And Okoro talks about wanting to be the guy, even at the next level. I want to take on their best player. And there's not a lot of players that have that, you know, that ability to not only say they're going to do it, but to actually do it. You know, a good example would be, you know, one of the top guys in this class that kind of universally is thought to be one of the top guys is Anthony Edwards. And he says, well, you know, if I'm dialed in, I can play really good defense. Well, then so were you just not dialed in all year? Exactly, and that's always my question. Whereas Okoro, every single game, game in and game out, whether it's, you know, off the ball, on the ball, he's shown a high ability to play defense.
Exactly.
And you mentioned how, you know, the biggest issue with him is his shooting. And it's interesting because sometimes you watch him shoot, he'll make, let's say, 5-6 free throws in a row. And then all of a sudden he'll miss like 2 or 3. And when you look at the form, it's completely different between like every shot. It's not like a consistent thing. Do you think ultimately, though, he does figure out a consistent way to get competent as far as being a shooter?
Yeah, I mean, if he goes to the right organization and they can help develop him with that, it just seems like with his shot, it seems like he fails a lot with his shot. He got his elbows out, you know, so if he could just consistently just work on just keeping that form tight and all that, I think, you know, his shot could definitely be fixed. Because like you said, you know, he has stretches where, he's rolling, you know, that form looking good, but it's just a matter of consistency. That's if he could just work on the consistency and also with the free throws too. It seems like he has, you know, it seems like with his free throws, it's also like a two shot form where he's, you know, two steps, like he's got the elbow and then bam, like it's gotta be more fluid with his free throw shooting. But, you know, those are all things that to me that could get worked on. The things that, you know, the other things he does, like you said, like, you know, his motor and his, you know, his just energy he brings, especially defensively, to me, those things are, you know, that's going to fit into any team. So I think the shooting, you know, I was worried when I first, you know, was going through the process and I watched him. I was like, oh man, something I could, that guy, I might be worried about. But the more I watched him, I just feel like that could definitely be worked on. And if he does get worked on, I think he's possibly the best player in this draft. If he gets, because everything else he does is just tremendous, because he's almost, you know, like I said, if he were just, he's one of those prospects, if, and I had talked to someone about this, like if you had to add, if one prospect had to add, you know, if they had to add their weakness and that became their strength, who would be the best prospect? And a lot of people said, you know, it'd be Okoro with the shooting. He'd be by far the best prospect in this draft. So, you know, I think the shooting, you know, in the right situation, if they develop it, you know, it'll come with time, but he's still young. So, you know, with time, I think he can develop into a solid, you know, we're not asking for him to be, you know, shoot 85% and shoot 50% for field. You know, I think he can definitely get to a level where he's a respectable perimeter shooter.
That's the perfect transition too, because you talked about how if you could fix that one glaring weakness, mm-hmm. you know, would he be number one? And that's exactly the question I was going to ask you next, because for me, there were two guys in this class and they both had the same weakness. So you had Okoro and you had Denny Avdija. And I've been asking that for months. And I said, if you could make them good shooters, would they move up on your board? That's mm-hmm. kind of the question I've been asking other people. And there's a number of players in this class that are very similar where they have this one thing. And I completely agree. If Okoro was a really good shooter, I don't think we'd be having much of a conversation. He would be number one or number two. I really do. Now, on my personal big board, the guy that I'm in love with is Denny Avdija. And he's shown the ability when they restarted their season to be able to make shots. And so with Okoro,
he got stronger too. He got stronger too, which is huge. Another thing. Yes, that was massive.
And that's the thing that's interesting to me is there's a lot of people out there that follow the draft that they look at Okoro and they say, you know, I don't think he's going to become a shooter, or I don't like what he does so far as a shooter and I have concerns. But then you see other players that are at the top of their boards, whether it's LaMelo Ball, whether it's Edwards, whether it's Wiseman, and these guys have way more holes in their game than Okoro does. And they're like, oh, those are going to be fine. They're going to, like, LaMelo Ball is going to be great on defense. Like, Edwards is going to be great on defense and he's going to figure it all out. But then they look at Okoro and they go, I just don't see└└================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================└================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ such as defense. He just has a really high IQ. You can become a good shooter. A lot of guys can't become good defenders. And I think that's what really separates him for me from a lot of the other prospects is, like you touched on, he's got such a complete game. And so to me, that's why I look at him and if I'm a team, I say to myself, all right, do I have a good shooting coach? Do I have a good system in place? And if I feel like I do, I think you have to consider him anywhere from 1 to 5.
Yeah, you're right. And like I said, when I first did my board, I fell into that, you know, I don't know if the shot will be there. But like I said, the more I watched, I feel like, and I watched his whole game and I'm like, man, he does everything else that would be a lot tougher to teach, especially defensively in the way he moves, the way he slides. That's a lot harder to teach than, you know, just working on his, you know, his form and all that, and just making sure he's more consistent. I think that's all, you know, that could be fixed with, like I said, going to the right, you know, spot. But I think people, you know, you look at like, and that Mike Schmick's video was perfect. Like he showed them a lot of Kawhi video and a lot of Jaylen Brown. And that what was the biggest thing with Jaylen Brown was his, you know, his perimeter shooting. He's kind of similar, a prospect, you know, as far as, you know, well, Jaylen Brown, but people are like, we don't know if that outside shot. And look at Jaylen Brown. I'm not saying he's a knock, but he's a respectable perimeter shooter now. He's hit some big shots for Boston. And you look at Kawhi's game and how it's evolved, where, you know, he was just a guy who could play defense and all that. And now look at his, you know, he has maybe the best, you know, mid-range game in all of basketball. So, you know, with time, listen, you go into the right system, like I already said this numerous times. You go to the right system, and they teach you the right way. Look at like Kawhi, look at Jaylen Brown. They were in perfect situations. Kawhi in San Antonio, Jaylen Brown in Boston, where, you know, the player development is just top notch. And if Okoro gets to that situation, you know, where he goes to maybe like a Golden State or someone, man, I think with time he could definitely develop into a respectable jump shooter.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the guys that Mike Schmitz talked about, whether it was Jaylen Brown, Kawhi. He also, one of the big things he liked to show was Jimmy Butler, and all those players shot Iguodala, terribly when they were at his age. And the funny thing is, like a Coral, we sit here and we go 29%. This is so bad. That actually is much better than any of those three were shooting at that time. And so to me, he's already got that stepping stone, and we've seen what those other guys can do. The other thing too is Okoro has the physical traits. Like he's a strong guy.
He's a super athlete.
One thing you don't see with a lot of guys coming out is they don't have that NBA body. So do you think all that stuff that he's good at in college is going to transfer to the pros? Because to me, I think everything transfers really, really well with him.
Yeah, I think it transfers. Like I said, you know, the amount of film I watched on him the last few days, like he's grown on me so much. And I, like I said, we talk about the defense and all that, you know, the energy he brings on both sides of the ball. You know, he that all is going to translate into the league, and you know, wherever situation he goes to, you know, he's going to be good. Yeah, he's definitely going to be a good player because, you know, he has all the physical traits to be good. Like I said, he's going to come in as a plus defender already. He can guard 1 through 4. So, like, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, switches and mismatches with him because he could guard, you know, especially in today's, you know, in today's NBA, he could guard 1 through 4, you know, for most 1 through 4s, you know, he'll have no issues with that. And, you know, like I said, he's great at attacking the basket. You know, he's so strong. Like I said, he loves using that spin move, you know, and stuff, and the Euro step, you know, and he's a super athlete. So all those things translate, you know, and like I said, the shooting, it was something that I worried about, you know, maybe just a few weeks ago. I was really like, I'm not crazy about it. But now I'm like, I just watching, you know, his form and all that, and I feel like, you know, all those stuff can definitely be worked on, and I think he'll be fine. He's definitely gonna, like I said, he's moving up my board for sure. I definitely had him ranked too low on my board.
The one thing that's weird is, so a lot of guys, when you have the prep or the pre-draft process, they start releasing videos of themselves working on different aspects of their game. For example, Denny over the summer prior to the restart was putting out lots of video on his jump shot changes and the things he was making changes to. James Wiseman, same kind of deal, was putting out clips. We haven't seen much from Isaac Okoro so far in the offseason. To me, he's a guy that could really benefit from the pre-draft process. Now, we don't know what that's going to look like, but I feel like if an NBA team can see the changes he's making, because I think at this point we all know he's sitting in the offseason going, all right, I'm good at all these things, I'm going to fix the jump shot. I would really be interested to see what his form looks like now as opposed to what it looked like in college. Because to me, he's had this whole offseason, and especially with the pandemic, it's much longer. And now, you know, the draft's been pushed out to November. They have all this extra time. And he's not the only one. I really hope we get some sort of pre-draft process, because there's a number of guys in this class that I think would really benefit to getting to be right in front of some of the scouts, some of the decision makers in these teams, where they could really move up boards. And so that's going to be a big thing for me. And I hope they find a way to do some sort of a process.
I hope so, man. But
something.
Yeah. I feel like they got to do something, because like this is going to be by far the hardest draft, you know, GMs are ever going to have to do. You're like, this is tough, you know, because we're talking about, you know, we're going on what, 6 months of no basketball activities, you know, watching any type of film, you know, there was pretty much no conference tournaments. I think some guys played, you know, I interviewed some prospects and they played one game or they were about to play, and then, you know, everything got canceled, you know, and obviously no March Madness, no Chicago Combine, no pre, you know, you Zoom. I mean, you can only do so many Zoom interviews, you know.
That's true.
You know, you can't, you know, you're not going to get a good feel of watching someone on Zoom or talking to someone on Zoom. You know, you need that, you know, to bring someone to your facility and, you know, have those private workouts. So a lot of these GMs are going to get definitely going to get their money's worth. You know, they're really going to see how much they're really worth in this draft, because, you know, especially if we have nothing for the next we got 2 more months before the draft. You know what it's, you said on November, right? Like around this time, November, you know, it's 2 more months, you know, hopefully they have something. I don't know if that's even possible with obviously everything going on in the world, but you know, I hope they do get something, because, you know, we'll get to see, you know, what these guys look like, and, you know, and all that. But it's going to be tough for these GMs to evaluate all these guys with pretty much nothing for the last 6 months, you know, and actually going to be longer. You're gonna have 2 more months, so you're gonna have 8 months of nothing, you know, other than just, you know, Zoom, you know, interviews. So this is gonna be a tough draft to evaluate. It's already a tough draft to evaluate, and it's gonna be a tough draft for the once the actual draft day happens. So it's gonna be interesting.
The one thing about this draft class is in general is it's definitely going to go down in history. It's probably the most scrutinized because we had so much longer to look at the same film over and over again. So yeah. There's all that extra time where you're going to find things you don't like, or you're going to, in some cases, find things you do like that you didn't really notice. And that's one reason why I think a guy like Denny Avdia, who went back and actually was able to put fresh film, if you're a scout, you're probably like, finally, I can watch something that's new. I've watched the same 10 games, you know, 20 times, 30 times over.
Exactly.
I need something fresh. And so that's why I'm sure if they could figure out some way to give you some sort of a look in terms of a pre-draft process, I think that would be big. Let me end it with one last question here on Okoro. So looking ahead to the draft, where do you think he likely goes? Where do you think he should go? And is there a team or teams that you think are a good fit? I know one team you mentioned earlier was the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, yeah, Golden State at two. I think that'd be a perfect fit with him. You know, they definitely could use a wing. You know, I think that would be a, you know, I think it's going to come down if they keep the pick, because I there's still a part of me that feels like they could trade the pick. But if they stay at that, I really think it's going to come down to Denny, and it's going to come down to Okoro at number two. Just looking at, I did a mock draft not too long ago, and I had someone take Okoro at eight to the Knicks, which, I mean, I don't think he's going to drop that far down. But if he does, the Knicks, I think that would be a great pick, even though, you know, me being a Knicks fan, and a lot of Knicks fans would probably get scared because they, you know, they just look at, you know, they worry about the shooting and all that. But, you know, I think that would be a definitely a good pick if he were to possibly, you know, get to that, you know, to eight. But, you know, I think he could go definitely to number two to Golden State. I mean, I think that'd be a good fit, you know, put him in the wing and, you know, him. Draymond, you know, get that rub off Draymond. You know, I think that would be Clay. I think that would definitely be a good fit for him to go to Golden State and learn from all those guys. And you know, if there's a place where you can learn how to shoot, well, what are two people to learn how to shoot from than Steph Curry and Clay Thompson, arguably the two greatest shooters of all time? So I think that would be a perfect fit for him.
Yep, I completely agree. I think when we talk about how the right system could get him to be a good shooter, there's no better system than the Warrior system at that point. So exactly, let our fans know and let our listeners know, where can they find you on social media and where can they listen to your stuff?
Yeah, so you can find me Off the Ball Pod. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. I'm pretty active on both, so follow me there, and you know, I'll follow back, and I'm always active, you know, with all my takes and all that stuff. Also on Facebook, Off the Ball Podcast/Network. You could follow me there. I do a lot of live streams, you know, once or twice a week. You know what? We get on the stream. Also on Twitter and YouTube. Also YouTube, also Off the Ball Podcast. Off the Ball Podcast, it's available on all podcast platforms. I just had a show I just put out with Alex B with the Bad Withers Fans Podcast, and I have a whole bunch of interviews with a lot of NBA prospects with guys like Isaiah Mike and Eugene Herman, Sasu Asaigai, Les DeVarner, Jordan Jackson, and Isaiah Fontaine, a whole bunch, you know, some of the guys that I've gotten to interview. And so, yeah, follow me on Off the Ball Pod and Off the Ball Network too. OTB_network is my network's Twitter and Instagram. So you can follow me there too. And offtheballnetwork.com is my website. And, go follow me there. Go on the network page. Go see some my boards. I'm actually gonna revamp my big board today, so I'll have probably a big board up tomorrow morning. So you know, you can follow me there, guys.
Perfect. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll probably look to have you on again down the road.
Awesome, Rob. Thank you for having me on.
All right, welcome back to Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show here on Dash Radio's Nothing in That Channel. And now we are joined by Tyler Metcalf, draft expert and staff writer for Hashtag Basketball, and newly minted as a contributor for Canis Hoopus, covering my favorite team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Tyler, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks, Rob. Happy to be on with you. I know we've tried to do this a couple times with some other prospects and some other info, but just timing hasn't worked out.
Yeah, no, I was glad we could get you on this week to touch on one of my favorite prospects, Isaac Okoro. But before we do that, I think we need to start with something we definitely have to touch, and that is that we are kindred spirits, both Denny Avdia, number one on our boards. Now, I know you recently put out an article about Denny, and I encourage all of our listeners to read it on Canis Hoopus. So not to take away or spoil the piece, but just briefly, why do you like Denny so much? And I'll ask this too, if you are the Timberwolves, would you take him number one?
Yeah, so I've had Denny at number one since about January, when I really just really bought into everything he does. And he just does everything really well at a pretty high level. You know, I get the people are going to harp on his shooting, but after the, you know, after their break, his shooting form was a lot smoother, it was a lot more connected. He stopped falling out of it, and, you know, the results kind of showed that. So I don't think he'll ever be, you know, a Davis Bertans from behind the arc, but, you know, few are. But if he's even just league average, I think everything else he does will make him an excellent, excellent player. And if I was the Wolves, I'd 100% take him at number one if they don't trade out of it or, you know, do something weird. You never know with Gersan.
That's true. I think he's looking at all his options. We know he's targeting a superstar, whether that's, you know, players like Bradley Beal or Ben Simmons or other names that you hear kind of floating around. And while those aren't really likely, I'm with you. I would absolutely take Denny for this team. And I think he would fit immediately because he's got that position flexibility, which is exactly what Gersan likes. I have heard rumors that they do like him. And so hopefully that's the case. I would absolutely love to see him on the squad. The funny thing about a lot of people when they talk about Denny is they like to bring him up as this like jack of all trades, master of none. And I would argue he's a master, especially given his age, at multiple skills. Not that he's just some guy that, you know, is pretty good in some areas. I would argue that he's actually really good in a lot of areas. And if you were to add in shooting, to me, I just think it's a no-brainer that he's the best player in this draft, especially given his size. I mean, there's so much to like about him.
Yeah, and just his growth over the last couple of years has been extremely encouraging, and he has one of the best work ethics in this draft. And, you know, regardless of what you think of him, you know, guys with that high level of work rate and desire to improve and be good, you know, they almost always carve out some sort of role. But his playmaking is super impressive. He can run the pick and roll, one of the best transition finishers in this draft. And then I love him creating off the dribble too, and he has just a great sense of how to find, you know, the guy in the dunker spot, or find the roll man, or kick it out to open shooters, because he's a very good at rim finisher. So when defenses collapse on him, he's frequently makes the right pass in the right play. So just his basketball IQ, work ethic, you know, just all of it, and he does is produce winning basketball.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And there's a reason why he was the MVP this past year. I mean, that makes a big difference. And actually, I think he probably could have had a chance to maybe win an award in postseason play as well. But, you know, if you haven't watched those games, by the way, I definitely recommend people check out the Winter League. You can watch all of those games right on their website, and it's pretty affordable too. And you can check any of those games out. But, you know, he had some pretty good teammates. He was on a pretty good team. And they won the championship. I mean, they were a good basketball team. And we talked about how after the restart, you saw him improve. And that's what's so interesting to me is there's so many people that look at the top of this draft and they say, well, LaMelo Ball, he has these issues, but he's going to get better. Or Anthony Edwards, right. Oh, well, there were effort concerns, but he's going to fix those. But then they go to Denny and they go, oh, no, he's just going to be this guy. There's nothing he can do to improve. It's like he's the same age. I don't understand why people think that he's this exception and he's going to be the guy that just – is just stagnant. Nothing's going to change. To me, that seems odd.
Yeah. And I think the best example of that is his growth on the defensive end. And in a couple interviews, he's stated that, you know, his coaches in the past have flat out told him not to worry about, even playing defense. So he really hasn't even been coached or taught how to until, you know, the last season or two. And he's already an excellent weak side rim protector. We've seen an improvement with his perimeter defense. I see him continuing that growth on both sides of the ball, and people get enamored with Ball's and Edwards highlight tape, as they should, because it's super impressive when things are clicking for those guys. But then when they look at Evdia's highlight tape, which I think is equally impressive, they just go, oh, well, he can't shoot. He's a bad shooter, bad free throw percentage. It's like, well, no, there's a lot more to his game than that. And you can't just absorb these guys' highlight tapes and, you know, ignore their flaws and then do the exact opposite for Denny. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it's interesting to me too. People like to say, well, you look at the Israeli league and the competition level is just not high. Well,
right.
How about the players that have in the past come straight from high school? They're definitely not playing a high level of competition. And yet we're still taking those guys number one. Or, you know, look at Kevin Garnett. We took him. Should the Wolves not have taken Kevin Garnett because he was playing a low level of competition? Yeah, exactly. I think that's very overstated. But let's jump now into this week's focus, Isaac Okoro. Now, when you hear the name Isaac Okoro, what is the first thing that you think of?
Elite wing defender, multi-positional defender, has the potential to be an all-NBA defender from, you know, very early in his career.
Yeah, when you listen to him talk, the one thing he mentions is that when he gets to the next level, he wants to guard the other team's best player. And there's not a lot of players that do that. In fact, I think there's some guys in this draft class that you look at them and you think, well, they don't play any defense at all. And so to have a guy that's already, first of all, physically gifted, I mean, he's a strong guy, so he's going to transition well. But now you add into the fact that he's not just physical, but he actually has the ability to be a really high-level defender because he's so high IQ on that level. To me, he's definitely one of the best players in this draft class.
Yeah, and I kind of like Denny, where people harp on the shooting. Okoro's not a good shooter, but you know that's really the only negative in his game right now. And while I don't expect him to be an awesome shooter at the next level, you know, we do see guys improve their shot. But even if he doesn't, I don't think that's going to be a detriment to him because he just does everything else really well. He's an excellent driver, great at rim finisher, really impressive passer. So I think just even a minimally creative offense will easily be able to find ways to make him really productive. And then defensively, he can guard anyone on the floor at an exceptionally high level. He's willing to fight through screens. He can switch if needed. So regardless of the system, he's just going to be an excellent versatile defender. And, you know, Matisse Thybulle this season was a big, you know, beneficiary of that defensive impact. And I could see Okoro's being even higher than that.
So do you think he's going to be able to make an impact at the NBA level right away, at least on defense? And let me ask as more of a general question on this draft class, do you think that he's the top defender in this class? Because I definitely do.
Yeah, I definitely think he's the best overall defender. And like, I love Devin Vassell's team defense, but he's not quite the on-ball defender that Okoro is. You know, Wiseman's a really impressive rim protector at times, but, you know, I'm not sold on that versatility. Same with Okongwu. But Okoro, and there isn't a defensive mismatch for him. You know, if he's matched up on a quicker guard, he has the length and athleticism and burst to recover pretty quickly. He has the strength to battle with guys in the post. He has the awareness to play off ball, and you know, he has the work rate to recover and disrupt transition offense. So at the very worst, I see him being just an excellent defender. And I think that's absolute worst case scenario for him.
Yep. I think that's very fair. Last I saw, you had Okoro 7 on your board. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it still is. I kind of flip, you know, that 5 through 8 range with Wiseman, Hayes, Okoro, Vassell. You know, I kind of, depending on the day, will flip them. But yeah, I still have Okoro at 7 right ahead of Vassell because of just the overall defensive impact. And, you know, the only flaw in Okoro's game that I see is that outside shot.
The interesting thing about Okoro is when you watch him shoot, at times he has this really confident and decent looking shot, but it's just so inconsistent. It's very weird. And then like you get to the free throw line and you watch the tape. For example, I turned a game on, I can't remember which one, and I'm watching him and he makes like his first like six free throws or something. And I'm thinking, man, you know, there's something there, but then you'll watch a few plays later and he'll miss two free throws in a row and the form looks completely different. In fact, sometimes it looks like he's almost aiming. Like he's like, all right, I'm going to find a way. And it's not smooth, if that makes sense. And that's the kind of goofy thing for me, is that there's something there, but you know, to reference our Timberwolves, it's kind of like when I watch Josh Okogie. Josh Okogie sometimes has a decent looking shot, but there's no consistency there whatsoever. So let me ask you this. If Okoro was coming into the draft and he had a really good jumper, so if you added that to his game along with everything else he already has, would he be in the conversation, you think, at pick number one?
Yeah, I definitely think so, because that's his only flaw at this point in his career. And I think it's like halfway through the season. I think Mike Schmitz of ESPN put something out about how he was kind of trying to rework his shot. You know, whether that comes to fruition or not, who knows? But I think that might account for some of the hesitancy or like the inconsistencies with his form and confidence in it. But yeah, and if he was a 35% shooter from behind the arc, I would probably have him at number one or number two overall.
That's the big thing for me. If you could guarantee me that he was going to be league average, from the 3-point line, I would look at him at number one. I still would probably take Denny first, just because that height and just some of those intangibles that Denny possesses physically, to me, are just, they set him aside from anyone else. But Okoro would be right up there. And so that's all I'm looking for is league average, if he can do that. And that actually brings up, you know, you mentioned Mike Schmitz, and when he did his sit down with Okoro, something interesting he brought up is that there are a number of players similar in style to Okoro when they were in college. Some examples he mentioned were just Jimmy Butler and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And the biggest knock, of course, is Okoro can't shoot. Well, they were actually much worse than him from distance. And now if you watch those guys, you wouldn't even know it because they're decent shooters. So to me, I think it's going to be not easy, but if you're looking at parts of a person's game that they can improve on, I think it's much easier to get better at shooting, especially when you have youth like he does, than it is to become better at, let's say, defense. A lot of guys never figure that out. But I think he has the ability to definitely fix that jump shot. Do you think he's going to be able to do it, though?
I'm not sold. I think his mechanics are all over the place. So if I was a team and I was taking him, I wouldn't be drafting him on the assumption that his shot was going to improve, because I don't think that's, you know, super realistic, at least in the short term. You know, we do see guys have improved shots. And look, Jay Crowder right now is a great example. You know, when he was in Boston, he's struggled to hit water if he was in a boat. And now he's a sharpshooter for him. So eventually, could it, if he gets with the right, you know, shooting coach? Sure. But at this point, if I'm drafting him, I'm drafting him because of his elite defense, because of his, you know, work rate, his basketball IQ, and that different facet of him being kind of a wing creator, and his ability to make his teammates better on the offensive end with his cutting, his slashing, his really impressive passing.
Yeah, he's a very versatile player. He brings a lot of skills to the table. You know, we talked about defending multiple positions, his ability to pass, his ability to, you know, he's able to draw fouls, and that helps given his size. And that's one of the biggest things for me is if he is going to be, let's say we assume he's not a good shooter. Mm-hmm. If he can at least be passable from the free throw line, to me, that's where he could really set himself up, because he can get to the hoop. And if he can be passable at that free throw line, he's going to be a lot more valuable to a team. Granted, he's not going to space the floor if he's not able to obviously get a consistent jump shot. But free throws to me are much different. And you can become a pretty good free throw shooter and still be a bad jump shooter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he was, I think he was at like 67% from the line this past season on like under five attempts. So you'd like to see that get into the 70s, obviously. But that's not bad. It's not like it's completely broken or he's a complete liability from the line. So as far as bad shooters go, I think that's a kind of a good place for him to kind of start off on. So, and just his ability to finish at the rim, I anticipate him, you know, being a lot of and one finishes where, you know, he's not leaving a ton of points at the line. So I wouldn't worry about that too much.
Yeah, I think that's fair. He's got, again, he's got the size. I think that's one of those things that's really going to translate. Do you think that a lot of his skills are going to be translatable? So we look at how he's a very good passer. He's obviously a very good finisher. We talk about his defense. Let's look at passing, for example. Do you think his high-level passing ability is going to transition well to the next level? Because me personally, he's very smart when it comes to passing. He's not going to necessarily take a ton of chances, but he's a very high IQ passer.
Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on what offensive system he kind of ends up in. You know, I'd obviously be shocking if he went to Houston, and it won't happen. But like if he ended up in that offense, I think his offensive impact would be a disaster. But, you know, we see teams like Boston and Miami with excellent ball movement and off ball movement. And if he gets with a coach who just has a little bit of creativity, I think his passing will be a massive asset. And like, even just like looking at the Timberwolves, you know, you have three awesome off ball shooters in Towns, Beasley and Russell. And I running those guys off screens, I think Okoro would easily be able to find them, or he's a very accurate, you know, driving kick passer. So if you get him on the move and get guys moving around him, I think his offense will 100% be an asset, and his passing will easily translate. But if you get in one of these ISO heavy offenses, you know, defenses will be able to sag off of him and then just kind of stick to shooters, and the results won't translate as well.
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. He's also a player that I would say, and there's a number of guys in this class I think that fall under this level, but a pre-draft process would be really big for him, because at this point, anyways, I haven't seen any sort of video or anything. A lot of times guys will leak workout footage, shooting, that sort of thing. And granted, you know, you're up against nobody in many of these videos, but it's still nice to see guys improving on jump shots. You know, a good example, we talk about the Wolves, Josh Okogie and Culver have put out film of them working on that jump shot and trying to become better. We have not seen that from Okoro. So not only from a shooting perspective, it would be great to see him have some sort of a pre-draft process, but also I would love to see his measurements. You know, he was asked by Mike Schmitz, what is your vertical? And he said, I have no idea. He's like, it's pretty high. And if you watch him and some of the dunks he's made and some of the plays he's made, I think it's a pretty good vertical, but seeing some of those numbers and kind of knowing exactly where he measures, I think could be a big difference maker for him.
Yeah. And it definitely helped project, you know, his kind of weak side rim protection and stuff like that. And I think just teams getting him in the gym and being able to run him through stuff, I think that'd be a great indicator of his extraordinary work rate to them, because I mean, he's what, 6'6", 225. I mean, he has an NBA ready body, and there are multiple clips of his defensive impact where he sprints back in transition, has a chase down block, his momentum carries him into the stands, he recovers back to the shooter to run him off the line, rotates to the kick out pass, cuts off that drive and completely kills the offense, and after covering, you know, three or four guys in a single possession. So, and while that tape is exciting and promising, being able to see that firsthand, that type of effort in your own gym with your own eyes, I think would do him a ton of good.
Yeah, to me, it's a really huge difference maker. Well, when you're watching, you know, where guys end up going in this class, and actually, that brings me. Let me ask you this: where do you think he should go in this draft? Is there a spot like a area of the draft, I should say, that you think he should go? But not just that. Where do you think he likely goes? And is there a team or teams that you think are a good fit? To me personally, when I look at this class, when I think of teams, a lot of it's going to depend on what position he can play. Because if he can end up being long-term a player like PJ Tucker, where he can also play, like, let's say the four, because he's got that size, you know, teams like the Wolves would love to have a guy that's got that position flexibility and could possibly play next to Towns.
Yeah, and if Minnesota trades back a few spots, I would be more than happy with his fit there. He doesn't provide the outside shooting, you know, they've kind of keyed their offense towards. but and he'd be a major boon on the defensive end. I think he'd fit awesome in Golden State. And, you know, Chicago is another one that I keep going back to with him because, you know, they have these offensively focused guards. They have a couple bigs and Carter and Markkanen that they, you know, they want to build around those guys, but they've yet to really find that consistent defensive wing. And I think Okoro would be great for that. Otto Porter's been okay for them, but I think Okoro would raise their defensive ceiling while still giving them some creativity and versatility on the offensive end. And even Atlanta, I prefer the Haliburton fit in Atlanta, but if they, you know, want to keep throwing wings around Trae Young, he would immediately make their defense better. And Reddish and Hunter showed a lot of flashes of being really good defenders. So those three out on the court covering up for, you know, Trae's lack of defense, would be really interesting and likely really beneficial for them going forward.
Yeah, I have to agree. I love the fit on both those teams. But to be fair, I don't know if there's any team in the NBA that couldn't use a player like Okoro. When you think about it, there's a lot of teams that are like, yeah, I would love a wing that can play multiple positions, can defend a lot, and has all these high-level skills that he has. Now, I got a couple more before I let you go, just looking at the Wolves specifically. So looking at the Wolves, we already touched on Denny, and obviously we looked at Okoro a little bit. Are there some other players in this draft that you really like for them and like the fit?
I love the Tyrese Haliburton fit. I'm a lot higher than most on him. I have him at 3 overall. I just don't see a situation in which he fails. And he can play on or off ball. I think the fit next to him and Russell would be really interesting. I think Okongwu is intriguing from a defensive aspect. I'm not sure how much he would kind of clog up their offense, but defensively, I think he would really help their interior defense. Okoro, you know, I mentioned him already. Devin Vassell, I like his two-way versatility, excellent team defender, great off-ball shooter. I'm not completely sold on his ability to create off the dribble, but he was really efficient at it, but just kind of struggled to create space. So those would be kind of like the top ones. Anthony Edwards, I have concerns about his effort and, you know, general work rate. But he's kind of like that prototypical top tier prospect when you look at size, burst, athleticism, you know, scoring. So, but Denny, Haliburton, kind of Okoro, Vassell would be my top favorites for Minnesota.
I think they're all solid options, especially given they fit the vision that Rosas has for the team.
Yeah.
And so I think that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned how high you have Haliburton. An interesting thing I got from, I believe it was Sam Vecenie's show, and he talked about how he had talked to some of the other opposing coaches or opposing bench guys, and they had talked about how they would kind of go after Haliburton quite a bit because they didn't trust him as an on-ball defender. Do you have that worry?
A little bit. And I think he needs to continue to add muscle like most, you know, 19, 20 year olds do.
Yep.
But I think I like his length. I think Iowa State was a complete disaster of a team, so I don't think that helped him at all. As an off-ball defender, I think he's in the same class as Vassell, where he can kind of control an entire weak side on his own. But point of attack, I could see him being somewhat of a liability early in his career, but I think he's smart enough and, you know, has that base level of athleticism where I don't think it'd be really too much of a long-term issue.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, when I do my Tyrese Haliburton episode down the road, we'll definitely connect with you because you are higher on him than most, and that's a good thing to have someone that obviously has kind of looked into the film really closely. Let me end with this. Where can people find you on social media, and do you have anything coming out soon? Or, of course, we already touched on the Denny Avdija article that you just had out.
So I'm just easiest place is Twitter at tmetcalf11, T-M-E-T-C-A-L-F 1-1. I usually, you know, tweet out or share whatever I write. Just had my debut piece for Canis Hoopus come out, about 3,000 words on why the Timberwolves should take Denny at first overall. So go check that out. And then draft guide and scouting reports over at hashtag basketball.com. You know, I have my top 30 scouting reports for all top 30 of my guys. And then I'm just going to kind of keep cranking those out until we get to the draft. So, yeah.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
I want to start by saying thank you to all of our guests this week, and I encourage all of our listeners to go check them out where they mentioned they are available on social media or on their specific websites. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. Remember, you can find us anywhere podcasts are found, whether that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. You can find us at any of those locations. Again, Robin Hoop Draft Show, bringing rich takes to the poorly informed. And until next week, we'll see you.
With the first pick in the 2003 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA Draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA Draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA Draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.